Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie, and happy Wednesday.
Sorry. Okay, smiley, Nat.
It's because before we pressed record, we were talking about this latest season of Love is Blind, and we're like, these people can't be real. Like, I just...
It just makes so much sense because Denver is a transplant city, and this season is very evident of that.
But, like, Atlanta's a transplant city, and Chicago's a transplant city, and listen, no one acts like these people.
No, I know. This entire cast is very quirky, and...
Quirky is putting it lightly.
Yeah, they're very out there. And you know what? That's why, Pod Besties, we decided... Our life updates can wait. We have to get right into this season because there is a lot to say.
There's 6 episodes we need to get through and talk about. And the thing is, every episode was so crazy that, like, we can't even skip, like, you know, the small stuff. Everything was, like, insane. Listen, I know that every season has, like, 2 to 3 cast members that are, like, not real people. You're just like, who are you? Like, where did you come from? Like, there's no way you're, like, a real human in actual human society. But I feel like this is the first time where more than half the cast, if not all the cast, are just not real people. I was thinking to myself watching the show, I was like, everyone's AI generated. This should be called a Love is Blind AI, because I was like, there's no way any of these people are real people. And I wholeheartedly believe, like, this is my theory, they are aliens. I think they're aliens in disguise trying to be humans, like act like humans.
I don't know what was up with the season, but the editing just seemed really off. Like, it felt almost rushed. And I was like, listen, I know that the viewers are like, let's not waste too much time in the pods. Like, I really don't need to see all the GIFs and all, like, the, you know, I don't know, the intimate conversations. But we didn't mean just, like, skip ahead to all of their entire love story, because that's exactly what happened with one of the couples. And I was just like, we are not invested whatsoever. There's no foundation here.
No, 100%.
Like, I don't know. I know.
The
editing is weird.
That's why I think that this is an extraterrestrial season. Okay. They're doing things humans would do, but, you know, not quite right.
No, I know exactly what you mean. You know what's crazy is I wanted to move to Denver for a long time. And I've told you this so many times, but why is this season a walking ad of why I shouldn't move to Denver? I'm like, maybe I'm good in Chicago.
No, same. Okay, this is kind of weird for me. I don't know if any other single people do this when they watch Love is Blind, but I'll watch the show and be like, who would I go for, like, on the men's side, like, out of the main cast? And the only person I would go for is 10% maybe Blake.
I would be like 60% Blake, I think.
The only reason I say like 10% and not 90% is because I don't trust him either. Like, I'm like, you know what? We didn't see enough of you. You left early. On this season, I dislike the men the more I watch them. And I was like, I realized I don't know Blake enough. Maybe he's just as extraterrestrial as the rest of them. Like, I don't know. So,
yeah. I do have to say, I do respect people who leave the show when they know it's not right for them, or they're not connecting and they're not just moving on for clout. And so that makes me happy. And I do have a respect for Anna and Blake for being like, you know what? This isn't for me.
I 100% agree. People who leave when they know it's not right for them are the people who aren't doing the show for clout, fame, attention. But I will say, like, I know both of them are getting backlash for not saying goodbye to their other connections before they left. We've had people leave on our season on their own accord for various reasons. And the moment you tell a producer, like, hey, you know, I want to go home, you just go. It's not like producers say, come the next day and explain why you're leaving to all your dates. It's like, no, we're going to book you a flight tonight and you're going home.
I do have to say, sometimes I think it's like very scenario dependent. And it was weird that in this instance, they didn't allow Blake to come back and say goodbye. Or maybe he didn't want to. I don't know. But I just feel like sometimes they try to push it. But maybe in this season, it didn't make sense because it did leave us on some cliffhangers. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was like a better editing move potentially. Or maybe they did say goodbye and we just didn't see it.
No.
Who knows?
I don't know about Anna, but Blake confirmed in an interview that he didn't say goodbye to Sparkle Megan. Sparkle Mike. And he's just like, it was so far from my mind. But also, I think it's because, like, literally when you say you're going, I think they try to make it where they're like, okay, like, you're going tonight then. Like,
yeah. I don't know how they picked these people, but I think that they just made the season so bad that people are hate watching. Right?
Yes, no, that's how, like, my friends are. They're like, should we watch the season? Like, I heard it's so bad that we have to watch it. And listen, I don't think this season is bad. I think it's actually very entertaining. You just Agreed. Can't root for anyone. Like, it's entertaining the fact that, like, none of these people are acting like they live in a human society. You know, like, they're acting like they've never had other interactions with other humans before. So yeah, I feel like in that way, it's very entertaining.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? Like, I thought it was Gen Z that has a hard time, like, interacting and being social. But it's like, no, the cast is pretty old. So I don't know.
Which something weird really is like. Happening. Yeah, which I did really like that they're on the older side. They're around our age. But still, I stand by that this cast is AI generated. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that they are real until I see them in real life, okay?
Producers just use ChatGPT to cast this.
No, that's what I really think. I think that producers use ChatGPT and ask ChatGPT, like, hey, can you create this man who, let's make him Russian. Let's make him Russian and have him wear glasses. And he just agrees to everything that his fiance says. Like, oh, they both learned English at age 8? Yep, yeah, like, that's it. They both worked at McDonald's at some point? Yep. And they both had a dream last night. Let's do it. And then they produced Anton. Like, that's what happened. And then,
okay, wait.
And then they're like, and then his fiance is going to be someone that agrees and falls for everything. And then, like, have them also, you know, say I love you, like, on day 2.
Yeah. Honestly, the fact that it happened within 43 minutes, and I know that it happened in days, but to me, as a viewer, I was like, how did we get here? How did we get here? There's no foundation whatsoever. How can we root for a couple where we have no idea why they fell in love?
I know they're supposed to be like the couple that has the least amount of drama in the pods, clearly, because literally we don't see them after episode 1. But yeah. I still don't understand how they love each other. Do you think Anton actually shares a lot of similarities with Allie, or is he lying? Like, when she says, I didn't learn English till I was 8, like, do you believe him when he's like, same, like, or
it was probably like 6 or 7, but he's like, same.
And then she goes, I had a dream about you last night. He goes, same. And I was like, okay, what the fuck?
Can we real quick talk about that dream? Because why is she picking him up from jail with his mom that she's never met? How did you picture the mom?
It's foreshadowing.
How did you picture him? It's foreshadowing. Your dreams are telling you run,
yeah,
girl.
No, literally. Your dream is telling you literally this is not the man for you. But who knows? Because I will say, like, out of all the couples, I feel like him and Allie do have, like, a better shot. So
I don't
it's,
know.
You know, like, I don't want to, like, be like,
the key phrase there is out of all of the couples. So I think you're right. But their reveal was weird. Can we just get into it? Because there's not really much to talk about their date.
Yeah.
You know, like, their dating pod stuff.
Listen, that was I couldn't tell if it was editing. Like, I didn't understand why Anton took off his glasses. And so when the reveal doors open, he's like squinting at Allie. And I was like, you should have just left those on. Like, what was the point of that?
Yeah, he's really trying to experience what Love is Blind is really about. But I got the immediate ick because it's not like he even took off his glasses and put them away. He put them on the top of his head. Like, if you're not going to use them, to remove them. Like, I'm so confused as to why he even had them in the first place. And also, he never gave her the ring. Like, did we just miss the part where he gets down on one knee and hands her the ring? Because he didn't do that.
Well, I will say is that, like, I feel like it's okay if you don't propose in person again, because he already did in the pods. You know?
But, like,
maybe he's just, like, handed it to her at some point.
Yeah, I guess so, because I don't know. I don't know what it was about him, but he just has this, like, pompous attitude about him. And then as soon as they, like, leave, he doesn't even look back. He's just, like, pouring more champagne. Did you catch that?
No, I know. He's like, don't care about my fiance. I need the sippy sip of the champagne.
Yeah. And Allie's just, like, sitting there, like, all doughy-eyed, just, like, waiting for him to turn around. Just doesn't.
I will say, out of all the women, I like Allie the most at this point. A piece of me too is like, are Allie and Anton actually into each other? Are you saying yes to someone, to an engagement, because you just want to stay on the show and you're kind of like, I'm just going to grab whoever I can grab?
Yeah, no, I get that energy also with most of these couples, if I'm being honest, because I feel like in the pods, like we always talk about this, we're in such a bubble, right? But when we find like even the smallest similarities, it feels like this huge connection. Like, oh my gosh, we learned like the English language at the age of 8 together. It's like you feel this like immediate bond because everyone around you is strangers. So you like hold on to that little connection and think that it's love, when in reality that bubble will pop and, you know, that love will go away.
No, I love how they bonded over their time working at McDonald's. Probably McDonald's is like, if they get married, like, these are our new spokespeople.
Yeah.
He was a manager.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm loving it.
Exactly.
So imagine if they said that on the show. They're like, ba-da-ba-ba.
They just, McDonald's caters their wedding.
No, he goes to her like, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving you. Okay, we're being weird too. I feel like I'm acting like the cast has rubbed off on me, you know?
No, agreed. But it's been so fun and entertaining to watch. But so far, Anton and Allie, like in the pods and revealed, they're like unproblematic, you know?
Yeah.
We see very little of them. I'm like, cool, I'll see you on episode 6.
Yeah, like I'll see you in Mexico now. But I will say, I feel like they have room to be problematic in the future. I don't know, like right now, based on the edit, like something about Anton is just rubbing me the wrong way. I think at first it was that champagne thing, him not looking back at her after the reveal. He was just like, I have to have this drink. But also just like going back into their pod dates, I feel like, again, this is just based on editing. He talked a lot. She's just agreeing with him and he's just like talking about like what he wants, blah, 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 blah.
Yes, absolutely. I got that energy too. Like, is he just so self-absorbed that he's not asking questions about her, or did it get edited out, you know?
Yeah.
Regardless, from what we're seeing, though, it seems like a one-sided relationship where he's kind of like the dominant, you know, partner in the relationship. So, yeah. But, you know, we'll get into the trailer later at the end of this episode, but there is definitely some things that are coming that's going to complicate this relationship.
Yeah. But what I will say is I do like her so far. She's my favorite. I feel like she is a normal human out of everyone on the cast. Like,
poor girl got stuck with all the aliens.
Yeah. Like, I feel like she's someone that'd be like, yeah, you're a human being. Like, you're I believe you.
Yeah,
and you got me fooled gorgeous. If you're an alien, but like, yeah, and she's gorgeous. She's gorgeous. I feel like you could tell, like, she seems like a girl's girl. Like, she's always there for the other woman, like, to be this, like, comforting shoulder. So I don't have favorites, but she's someone that is, like, high on my list out of everyone on the season.
Yeah. So far, I'm not coming to any conclusions about who my favorite is, because I just know that if I pick my favorite, they're going to disappoint me. So I'm just going to wait till episode 12 to figure it out.
Yeah. The finale.
Finale.
Really, the reunion. You got to wait till the reunion. I think sometimes the craziest shit's revealed at the reunion and just like changes everything about how you feel about certain cast members. I think about Zanab. Zanab is a prime example. I really liked her on her season, Love is Blind season 3. Her altar speech was a little bit much and I didn't understand it, but I was like, maybe Cole did something bad. And then the cutie scene happens and you're just like, ah.
Speaking about the reunion, I'm very intrigued to see where everyone is going to be, because I feel like they've filmed almost a year or two ago. I'm not sure exactly what the timeline is, but it's been a while. So I feel like there's no one gets married, but we'll see.
I cannot believe it's fall. Like, I'm so excited for this season. I love the cooler weather and the leaves turning colors, but I'm so unprepared clothing-wise. Like, I want more cozier sweaters, cardigans, layers that last. But I've been ordering all my fall essentials from Quince. They are my go-to for looking cozy and refined, but not blowing my budget.
I have to recommend Quince's Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater. Natalie, I got it for $50 and I wear it everywhere. It's so cozy and comfortable and it just looks very luxe. Another staple for me is their 100% organic cotton sweater jacket. It looks designer level. And Quince is able to deliver luxury quality pieces at half the price of similar brands by partnering directly with top tier ethical factories and cutting out the middleman, passing the savings on to us.
Find your fall staples at Quince. Go to quince.com/outofthepods for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/outofthepods to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/outofthepods.
You know who I actually think will get married, though, is Annie and Nick.
That would be a bombshell. Honestly, I have some words. Okay, let's get into Nick. How do we feel about Nick? What's the word to describe Nick?
Are we all thinking the same thing about Nick? Like, we have to be.
We have to be. I think we are.
The fact, like, some of the other women are like, he's not real, he's putting on an act. I feel the same way. I think he, if there's anyone who truly is an alien on the season, it's Nick. Like, he really does seem to me like someone who has just drop down on this earth and he's trying to act like a human man.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like he's pretending to be somebody that he's not. I don't know in what way exactly, but like there's something about him when he's talking about like his sexual desires and like, I don't know, the conversations are just so weird and uncomfy to watch. Like, and I can't be the only one. The whole conversation where Nick and Annie are talking about hypothetically what they would do if their kid was gay was also problematic. And it really did piss off the internet. And Nick is actually like on an apology tour at the moment, like addressing that whole situation too. So I'm like, there's just a lot going on with this couple that I guess I just don't simply understand. And in my opinion, I think that Annie and Brendan made a better match.
No, I think Brendan dodged a bullet. No, for real.
That's real.
I do want to talk more about their conversation when Nick asks Annie, like, how would you react if you found out, you know, our child was LGBTQ+? And she goes, I wouldn't be like, yay. I would probably be like, I hope you know what you're getting yourself into. And then he asks, do you think it's a fad? And she's like, 100%. Like, I think in this day and age, we know it's not a fad. Okay. Yeah.
No, that conversation pissed me off.
I think it shows how close-minded both of them are. And I'm shocked that, like, first, I'm glad they're having the conversation because I think it shows their true colors. But also, I feel like it's so incredibly embarrassing that they know they're being filmed and still are willing to say the things that they're willing to say.
No, I absolutely agree. And I'm very happy that the show and producers decided to keep it in because it really does show what their character is and how they grew up and that that whole mindset needs to be challenged. Like, that is not acceptable to think that way.
I guess for me, like, what I've learned is no matter what, you're going to love your children and support them. And just like the way they talked about that scenario is just like not right, you know? And I was all like, you don't have your kid tell you something about their sexuality and you assume it's a fad.
It's homophobic.
I thought that conversation was so horrible. And I think that they are extremely close-minded. And in that way, they deserve each other. But I hope they don't end up with each other because, you know, we don't need people that think that way, you know, just
to come together as a power couple or anything. Like,
yeah,
that's
no, literally.
The last thing the world needs is that. So, yeah, I agree. And you're totally right. Brendan did dodge a bullet with Annie. I don't think their mindsets would align.
Beyond that conversation, there's just something about Nick. Like, he's so immature. I think it also says a lot that, like, the guys don't really like him. He just, I don't know. He just comes off as someone who's trying so hard.
Yes,
to be someone that he simply is not. And I don't mean that in any other way.
Yeah, and it's so evident through the screen that that's why he's so unlikable. I'm like, this man is not being himself, and that's why we can't, like, connect to him, because he's not authentic. And plus, like, obviously, I don't agree with anything he says, so there's that too. But I died when Nick, after his proposal and got engaged, walks into the lounge, and he's like, I'm engaged, and every man sitting in the lounge is just dead silent.
And he's like, oh, didn't see you there, Branton. My bad. I was like,
oh boy, now's okay. Not the time, Nikki Nick.
Yeah. Obviously, it says a lot that the guys clearly don't really like Nick, but also the way Nick announced it was so funny. He's like, I'm engaged. He comes in dancing a little, and I was like, I can't. I'm going to be honest, I fast forwarded most scenes that Nick was in.
Same.
Like hearing him and Annie talk about like the carpet being wet on her side.
Ew,
like,
just, I forgot about that.
After that, I was like, you know what? I don't want to hear a word that they're saying. I was like, I'm over them.
I wanted to erase that completely from my brain. But here we are again, Natalie. Thank you for the reminder. Because their sexual talk was so cringy. Like, oh my gosh, I was so uncomfortable the entire time. I was like, this is not sexy. This is just... I'm melting, but anyways.
No, I melted. I literally, like, my soul, I saw my soul leave my body and float away. That's how much I was cringing. I wanted to talk about Nick's other connection, Kate, because I really thought they were going to end up together. Like, I just thought she was a better person than Annie, but I also feel like Kate dodged a bullet.
Oh, yeah. Both Brendan and Kate dodged a huge, huge bullet.
Yeah, no, literally. They're probably watching this and be like, you know what? Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Actually, thank God. Legitimately, thank God.
Thank God. There is a God.
But it was so weird that Nick told Kate he loved her, and then he freaks out at her that she's never been a religious person. Like, he's like, you've never been religious? I was like, down, Nick. Like, be a normal person. I know aliens might act like this in space, but like, real human men don't, okay?
I don't know. He's like a hard one to read for me.
But I do feel like his anger about Kate not being a religious person wasn't really about religion. I think he was like truly between Annie and Kate, and he needed something to like break it off with one of them. And then he made it about religion with Kate. And he's like, okay, yep, this is my out. Like, this is a time that, like, I break things off with Kate and I go with Annie.
Yeah. But the fact that he said, I love you is like, okay, let's just toss those three words around. Like, they mean nothing. Because this whole season's been doing it. Like, this whole cast has been doing it.
No, 100%.
Like, I remember I'm watching it with my sister and my sister-in-law. And we just look at each other and we're like, do they know what love is? Like, I'm confused.
I feel like, again, you see this with the later seasons where people just kind of settle for other people because they know you need to get engaged to get screen time and make it to the end, you know? Like, I do think that that's a huge factor now. I feel like on our season, some people got engaged because they're just like, well, let me just explore and see where this goes. But I don't think the reason was ever like, aside from Kyle and Shayna, like, let me continue getting screen time. But I feel like now in the later seasons, particularly this one, a big reason why people continue on and say yes to proposals is because like, oh, I need to for screen time.
Oh, speaking of that, you know who did exactly that this season? Joe and Madison. Let's just throw it out there that it was Joe and Madison who I just know that Joe proposed just so he can move on in this process. Like, it is so clear to me that he just wanted clout.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it out there.
I agree. No, I agree with that assessment. No notes. Really? Okay, so next.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. You know what's funny is I've actually randomly seen Joe's TikToks from his podcast pop up before. But then when I saw him on this season, I was like, oh, yep. I just know that he's not in it for the right things. And it was so evident to me that that was the case when Madison was explaining her eye condition and how she could potentially go blind in the future and why this process means so much to her. His reaction, like, I get it, it's a hard thing to hear, but I just felt like he wasn't in it. And he knew from then, like, oh, I'm probably not going to marry this person, but I need to continue in this experiment.
He's like, I need to promote my podcast.
Yeah. Which I don't blame him. I mean, like, listen, look at us. You know, just...
The difference is he had it before, so I guess, yeah, whatever. He did release a clip recently, and it's kind of funny because he's just reading out his hate comments.
I don't know how to feel about Joe. Like, I did kind of like him in the pods, like him and Madison. I will say I just felt like he was just maybe a little bit awkward. And I was like, maybe he's just not good in front of the cameras. But then at their reveal, I was like, oh, yeah, he's not attracted to her at all. And we'll talk about Mexico later in this episode. But I feel like when he says like his preference is thinner women, typically it's hard for your mind to not go to like, okay, he's not attracted to her because of her body. But it's so crazy because her body is normal. Yes. She has a very good body. And I was like,
yeah, she's absolutely beautiful. And I get it. Like, physical attraction's a thing, right? Like, I am the one who knows all about that. But it's just the way he speaks about her. Like, even after the reveal, he's like, I'm having a hard time connecting the voice to that. And then was like quickly correcting himself to her, like whatever. Like, I don't know, in his mind, he's like trying to be a good guy on camera. But in reality, in the back of his mind, he knows he's not attracted to her, but he doesn't want to get a bad edit. And it's coming off really weird. Like, he should just be honest about it and say, hey, like, you're not my normal physical type. Like, maybe the attraction will grow. But no, he just is acting like a weirdo.
Yeah. But I can't tell if he's just being really awkward and just doesn't know what to say. Because he's not good in front of the camera. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but Natalie, he has a podcast where he's in front of the camera all the time. So nope, I'm going to nullify that.
I think it's very different than being on camera for a podcast because you could control like the content you put out there. But I think he just can't find the right words for the questions being asked by the producers. And he's just really nervous. But I do agree, he's not attracted to Madison. I think that's very clear. And to be honest, I don't think these two end up together because Madison is doing press right now. And you could tell based on what she is saying about her scenes with Joe, like she hates this man.
And you can just tell from her body language, too. I was like, oh, yeah, they're definitely not together, which is why it's crazy that the cast is doing interviews like so ahead of time. I know we did too, but for some reason it feels like they're doing way more podcasts and it's not just like the small clips of press interviews that we did. It's like they're doing full-on podcasts. So we're getting a lot more information before finale, before even like the wedding episodes. So I don't know. It's interesting.
With Madison specifically, the way she's responding to questions being asked by interviewers for, you know, like People Magazine or E! News, she hates Joe. She hates that man's guts. And I was like, there's no way they're together.
Yeah. Honestly, I kind of would too.
Yeah. So if I was watching this and I was like, why is this man so awkward? He is clearly not into me. I'd be pissed too. I'd be like, he swindled me.
If I was Madison, I'd be angry as hell. And I cannot wait to see her at the reunion.
Oh, 100%.
I hope she goes off on him. But yeah, even Madison and Joe's like reveal, I was like, it was a little awkward.
No, I think it's him. I think he's an awkward person. In front of the cameras, at least. Obviously, I don't know how he's like in real life, but in front of the cameras, he just can't find the words for anything. Like, I'm like, what are you trying to say, Joe? Like, just spit it out. Like, when I look at his confessionals, I was like, just say what you need to say. Like, why are you struggling so much?
I was like, Joe, just be honest.
I know. Like, he's like, well, I don't even know what to say. Like, that's all I heard. And that's what his confessional sounded like to me. He's like, oh, yeah, like, I'm like, what?
We needed a translator for some of
no, 100%.
Some of those statements. But we'll get into their big fight in Mexico a little bit later. But should we get into Jordan, Mike, Megan, Sparkle, and Blake?
Can we just get into Sparkle, Megan?
Sparkle Megan, let's do it.
So she's a popular one. She's got connections with Blake, Mike, and Jordan. I don't know how I feel about her quite yet, but I will say that initially I got a negative first impression of her because of the nickname Sparkle Megan.
Okay, to be honest, if you think about it, it's incredible branding. Because of all the people to stick out, you know what? I'm always going to remember Sparkle Megan.
But I think that's what caused that negative first impression is I feel like she used the nickname Sparkle Megan to build a persona for the show. Like, it felt very inauthentic.
Absolutely. When she introduced herself as Sparkle Megan, she goes, all my friends call me this. And I was like, no, they don't.
Yeah.
I was like, you just gave yourself that nickname right before the show so that people, you know, remember you. That's what I thought initially, too, when I first heard that. But I have warmed up to her. At the very beginning of this season, I was not a fan of Sparkle Megan because it's one thing to showcase how badass you are and how successful you are as a businesswoman, but the way you do it matters. And I think it just came off so strong as if, like, I don't know, she's like, oh my gosh, like, people use me for money all the time. Like, I'm super rich. Like, I drive this nice car. And I don't know, it's just the way that she did it kind of was off-putting. But the more I got to understand her and learn about her, I was like, okay, I'm warming up to you.
And I think it just shows her insecurity a little bit that she leads with how wealthy she is, whether that's the case or not. Like, I don't know her level of wealth, but I don't think she's like a multimillionaire. I'll tell you that.
I don't know. In the trailer, they're looking at million-dollar homes. So, but no, I think, again, it's all a persona that she's trying to put out into the world, or she's trying to put out this persona to her dates so that she can reel them in and, like, prove how successful and how independent she is. It's a hard watch because it gives try hard when you should allow your success to speak for itself based on, like, what you've accomplished, not how much money you've made from it. You know, that's, like, the difference.
No, 100%. Like, independent women who, like, provides for themselves, who make a lot of money for themselves. Great. Amazing. But yeah, it just, like, the way she does it is just so off-putting.
Yeah. But I do have to say I did get over it eventually because like, she stopped talking about it. And when she did get deep about her father and, like, the things that she's gone through, I felt like I started to understand her differently. And that's why it's so important to show some of those, like, intimate conversations in the pods. And I do like her, especially in the Mexico episodes. I think, like, I'm becoming a fan of her. But somebody that I did not like at all, who had the same type of characteristics as Megan in the beginning, is Mike. Michael. I don't know how to say it, but, like, the overconfidence, the talking about how rich he is. Oh, I have a sauna and a hot tub at home that we could go to. Please. Like, I hate him. I'm sorry. That's rude. I don't hate him.
No.
Hate is a strong word.
But I was so turned off by him. Like, when he says he's part of a tribe and he's like, it's a bunch of guys who are wealthy that are a part of it. I was like, yeah, right. Like, get over yourselves. Who are these guys? Bill Gates?
Yeah, who the hell are these? Is it just you in this group? Like,
but anyways, there's some crazy allegations about Mike that are out there. Like, supposedly he, like, owes a lot of people money, like, is just, like, a really horrible boss. Like, so I think our assessment about Mike is very much correct if these allegations are true.
And some of our pod besties, like, literally sent us screenshots of how he's, like, a scammer, quote unquote. And ever since I saw those screenshots, and this was before I even started watching the show, I can't even get myself to become a fan of him based on just his edit, because I had that in the back of my mind. I was like, oh, God, he owes a lot of people money. He's ghosted them. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, like, people have, like, had to take legal action against him. But if you just look at his edit on the show, like, not only does he come off as a show off, but he also says, you know, that comment about Jordan's son. He doesn't say Jordan's name, but he's like, there's a guy here who has a son who has diabetes. Like, I can't even believe. I was like, are you insane?
The fact that he doesn't have the intellectual capacity to know the difference between type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes is actually insane. I hope the editors, though, cut out the piece where Megan corrects him, because obviously her dad also had type 1 diabetes. I was just like, oh my God, I just cannot even believe that he said that. He's, like, trying to throw Jordan under the bus.
No, he's, like, not a good guy. That's so fucked up to bring that up in another date conversation, like, it doesn't concern you. I'd be so pissed if I was watching that if I was Jordan. But I think it shows Mike as a 37-year-old man. I think it shows just like what a bad guy he is.
No, I agree. And, you know, add on all the allegations. It's like, OK, everything is just starting to click and make sense with him. And I'm glad Sparkle Megan did not pick Mike because she was like very afraid of picking him because he's her normal type. And I'm like, I'm so happy that she picked Jordan.
I'm so
glad.
Not
that Jordan doesn't have his own issues, but.
Yeah. Like, I'm so glad Mike will get very little screen time after this. We'll probably see him at, like, the all-cast mixer that happens in the next set of episodes that drops today, actually. But I was like, I'm glad, like, she did not choose him because I don't believe he had genuine intentions. Like, I feel like he was kind of schmoozing, like, Megan so he could get chosen and, like, get more screen time. But I actually don't believe, like, he truly liked Megan, like was ready for an engagement. Like, I don't know. That's the vibe Mike gives me. Like, he was just so like trying to appease Megan all the time that I was like, I don't believe like you're actually genuine in your intentions. Like, I think if you're going to propose, it's for the show.
Yeah. It's hard to say because like Megan technically would be his type on paper.
Yeah.
Because of the way Mike portrays himself. But to me, I feel like he's so egotistical that him proposing is more over like him winning versus him trying to actually like get into a relationship and a marriage. You know, it's almost like a, oh my gosh, like his ego would be boosted if he could win and, you know, make it further in the experiment.
Totally.
So yeah, I do get that vibe from him too. If you've dealt with hair thinning or shedding like I have, you know how frustrating it can be. I've actually seen so many ads for hair growth products and always been very skeptical of them until I heard about Nutrafol. It's dermatologist recommended and clinically tested, so you can feel good about what you're putting into your body. Since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer-reviewed studies and NSF content certified, the gold standard in third-party certification for supplements.
Well, there's a reason why Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, trusted by over 1.5 million people. I also really like that Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy, which just makes me feel really good taking it.
See thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OOTP.
Find out why Nutrafol is the best-selling hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code OOTP. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code OOTP. Megan chooses Jordan, but do you think Megan would have chose Blake if Blake didn't leave?
I honestly do think so, because Blake, like, just comes off so sophisticated and, like, kind of put together in a way. And I feel like that's what she was looking for, right?
Yeah.
But I think that Blake would not have chosen Sparkle Megan. I think he was in it with Anna. And as soon as he found out that Anna left, he was like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to get serious with anybody else here.
Okay, I kind of thought that too, just based on editing. Megan says Blake was her number one, but I actually think that Blake's number one was Anna. And so you're totally right. When Anna left, he was just like, you know, I realized I can't really get that serious with anyone else. And so I'm going to go. But I was shocked when Anna left. I was shocked that both of them left. I don't know why. Like, I just felt like Anna was having so much fun in the pods. She was flirty and like connecting with Patrick and Blake. And I was like, one of these are going to work out for her. Like, I actually had high hopes for Patrick and Blake for her.
Yeah, me too. And honestly, if I look back at it, I feel like Anna would have been so perfect with Patrick. Like, Blake would have been a close second in my head. But I really want to understand why she left. Like, is it the pressure that she's feeling about how her family is going to react? Is it the fact that she doesn't want to date like another Asian man and she got scared that she was connecting so deeply with him? I don't know. Like, it could be so many things. And I really just want to pick her brain and be like, why? Why did you leave?
No, I know. But to be honest, though, I don't think her and Patrick would have ended up together, because one of the men in the pods like says something to Patrick. Oh, Anna left. Is that the girl that you said was too similar to you? And I feel like after she left, Patrick was like, yeah, like, whatever.
I got another one, Casey.
He was like, I got a blonde girl who's my other choice. Like, that's fine.
It's been hard because I really very much relate to some of the feelings that Patrick and Anna are going through. And I don't want to say it's internalized racism, but it kind of is a little bit, because I've gone through that too, where I became so whitewashed so that I could fit in. But I realized in my adulthood that that is shit that I need to deal with. And it's not okay to have feelings like that. And you can tell that especially Patrick has a lot of insecurities about being an Asian man. And that shines through so hard in all of these episodes.
I felt really sad for Patrick because I do feel like East Asian men don't get a lot of like chances on American reality TV. So when I saw that he was potentially going to be a main cast member, I was actually really excited. I think, again, as an East Asian woman, I was like, this is really great for like breaking barriers, regardless of like their edit or whatever. And I was like, I think the representation is just really important for the East Asian community. But I think that his whole storyline was so disappointing because he matched up with Casey, right? Like, he comes in being insecure that he's an Asian man, and he's like, you know, like, people don't find Asian men attractive, and that's a very big insecurity for him. And then ends with Casey not finding him attractive. And you can't help and think, like, is it race related, you know? So it, like,
yeah,
it sucks.
Casey has given him so much more reason to hate himself even more now. Yeah. And that's what sucks about the whole thing, is like, he got the confidence. He was so excited that he got engaged and he did the reveal, which was, by the way, a little awkward, actually a lot awkward. But yeah. The fact that now she has pushed him further down in his insecurity is what, like, is, it pisses me off a lot, because I do think that Patrick is a sweet guy. He just has a lot of insecurities about his ethnicity that he needs to work through. This whole storyline was really, really, really disappointing, like you said.
It sucks because I wish she ended up with someone who could validate the fact that his race has nothing to do with his attractiveness or like who he is. Like, he shouldn't be insecure about that. And Casey was the wrong choice, but that breakup was insane. Like, what is wrong with her?
No, first of all, can we just really quickly, even in the pods, Casey was like such a tryhard with her like sexual talk. Oh, I'm going to lick you up and down. Like, I was like, oh, gross. Like, why are you trying to trap this man? The breakup was insane. It was such a manipulation and so much gaslighting and so many lies that I was like, girl, you are being filmed. Like, you do realize that, like, this is not a good look.
Yeah, I know. I was like, listen, just rip the band-aid off. You could just be like, hey, I'm breaking up with you. You don't even have to bring up attractiveness or anything. You could just be like, I realize, like, after meeting you, like, I don't think that this is a fit.
But instead, she's extremely toxic and all over him, kissing him constantly, being like, oh, I love you so much. Like, it's not that I don't love you. It's just like, I gotta go home.
She's like,
and he's like, okay, I'll see you there.
Like, I can't do this TV thing. And then, like, jumps on him. I was like, what is happening?
Twice. I was like, why'd she come back for another jump? Like, just go, girl.
God, that's when I was, this is where, like, truly my soul left my body. When Patrick's like, what did she tell you guys? Like, oh, yeah. That she's breaking up with me? Like,
it was really sad. I felt really, really bad. But, like, the mixed signals with the body language and what she was saying, where he was like, we're not breaking up. She's like, no. Like, I was like, what? Which one is it?
She's like, I still love you. And I was like, no, you don't.
The producers were so messy when they're like 45 minutes before. And she's like, my attraction's just not going to grow that much with him.
That was crazy. She's a strange, strange woman, though. Like, even going back to their pod dates, you know, she brings up the story about how she met her ex. Like, you know, she saw him on TikTok and added him on Instagram, and then he added her back. And you're clearly telling that story for a reason. You're trying to indirectly tell the men that you're dating, like, you're good looking. Think about, like, when we talked about how we met our exes, like, if we had those conversations in the pods, you know, you don't go into, like, details. You talk about how those relationships ended, not, like, the details of, like, step by step how they started.
Yes. And did you catch how she was talking about how she got asked to do another reality TV show and her boyfriend was like, you should go and we can stay together. And then afterwards, you know, like, I'll still be here. Is that the case in this reality TV? Are you talking about this reality TV show? Are you going back to your boyfriend now?
Well, like, she says it again. I think Patrick asked something like, what did he say about you going on this show? Or like, is he going to be waiting for you? And she's like, yeah, he's going to be waiting for me. So I actually know Casey's boyfriend. Well, it might be ex-boyfriend, but I'm not sure. I think that they're still together-ish, but I know him.
You know how I know him too.
Oh, yes, I do. Are you telling the pod besties how you know him?
Yeah, there was a guy I was seeing who.
Why does the tea always listen, piping hot?
When I found out about this connection, I was like, oh my God. I was like, the world is small. Let me tell you, the world is small. When I found out about this connection, I was like, the world is very, very small. And I was very excited about this connection. And I ended up DMing the guy that I used to date. There's a guy who I was seeing who is like, a TikToker. How embarrassing to say that. Who was a TikToker. And he is friends in the same little TikTok group as Casey's ex slash boyfriend. I don't know if they're together or not, but.
The tea.
Anyways, that's my relation to Casey.
You're basically best friends.
I was like, basically, like, we know each other. But
yeah,
I was really confused because the guy just doesn't seem like that type of guy to be okay with his girlfriend going on a reality TV show. I don't know. So
yeah, you just never really know anyone. But I fear that it's more common than people think, because a lot of people do see Love is Blind now as an opportunity to further their careers or to leave their careers and to, you know, have clout. So I fear that a lot of people are like, you know what? Yeah, I'm dating somebody, but I'm just going to go on a little month stint and I'll be back with, you know, more followers and I'll be making more money and we can be together then.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
like, I will get married at the altar. Like, don't worry. But Casey does seem like the type where she's like going to just go on the show to, you know, increase her social media following and like get a social media platform. But I will say she must have been so unattracted to Patrick to like not be even like to not even go to Mexico. She's just like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah. What did she say? She's like, he's not a bad looking guy in any sense, but he deserves to be with somebody that's obsessed with him. And I was like, girl, OK. And just like blaming the TV show as a reason to leave is actually insane. Like, why don't you just own your shit and say how you really feel and be transparent? Like,
yeah, I will say, like, I understand, though, why it's so difficult. You know, it's not like a normal breakup. There's cameras around. This is for a reality TV show. And I think the reason why she wasn't being honest in that breakup to Patrick is like, she's like, I don't want to be a villain. I don't want to be like breaking up with him and it be about like how he looks like. So that's how it looks like. Like she even says to Patrick, oh, they're asking me questions and making it seem like, you know, I'm doing this because I'm not attracted to you or it's like about your looks. She says that to Patrick. So I think she knew during that breakup, like, oh, that's like a potential storyline. She probably is picking up on that based on like the questions that the producers were asking her in that conversation she had with them 45 minutes before the breakup. And so I think maybe like fear was also going through her mind where she's like, I can't really be honest or I'm going to look really bad.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Joe. I feel like Joe's doing the same thing, too. And Casey, just poor girl, just like could not continue on. And I understand it. You're right. Like, there is a part of the internet that's a big deal. She's getting a lot of hate now, too. So it's just a tough watch. And it's going to be interesting when they come back together. Like, are they going to come back together? Because basically she left it at, okay, like Patrick goes, oh, like, it's okay. I'm not going to hate you because you're not going to Baja. Like, I'll see you when we get home, right? And she's like, yeah, yeah. Like, okay, cool. Like, I just, The gaslighting and the manipulation is insane.
Wait. I will say, I obviously feel very bad for Patrick. Like, I think that if I was Patrick watching the show right now, I'd be like, what the fuck? I feel like his insecurity about his ethnicity and race, like, it's that insecurity is going to go deeper after watching those scenes. It's hard.
Oh, absolutely.
Even though I feel bad for Patrick, I will say, like, I do feel like he just chose Casey for shallow reasons. Like, I also didn't really take a liking to Patrick during his scenes either, especially when the producer asks him in one of the confessionals, like, what do you have in common with Casey? And he's like, I can't recall our last date. And he goes, I'm pretty tired. Like, I can't answer that. And I'm like, yeah, like, why do you like Casey?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's because she's white and he feels some type of insecurity with him being East Asian. And it runs so deep that he's not ready to be in a relationship. He wants to find somebody else to prove that he's worthy enough, but he needs to find that love within himself. Like, he's absolutely not ready for any relationship, let alone a marriage, because you can't just like have somebody else fill all the voids of your insecurity. Like, you got to do that yourself, bro.
I didn't think that deeply to it, but I was like, the only reason he is probably choosing her is because she has already signified to him, based on like all these stories about her exes and how they met, like that she's hot, and she talks about sexual shit all the time, and he's probably like, hell yeah.
He's like, let's fucking go.
I've got a sexual hot blonde. Yeah, like, hell yeah.
No, and the reveal was so awkward, but I knew immediately after she saw him that love is in fact not blind, because she literally was looking at the ring and she goes, oh, it's so pretty, I don't want to give it back. She's like, she was already thinking in her brain, like, this isn't gonna work.
She's like, I'm gonna take this back home on the plane with me. Like, she's probably like thinking ahead. But I'm really glad that Casey broke up with him like at that point and didn't continue on to the altar. You know, like,
I agree.
In that way, I think it saved him a lot of time and heartbreak. I honestly think, though, when they were breaking up, she's probably like, they're not going to show us on the show. Like, I'm not going to be a villain.
Yeah. No, honey, you definitely are.
And she's like, oh, ooh. Literally, they did show everything. So,
yeah.
One couple that I was really surprised that got together is Calabria and Edmund. I don't understand their connection. I think Calabria is a pot of gold. I loved her from the start, actually. Like, her and Allie, I think, are, like, really amazing. I take it back when I called everyone aliens on the season. I think her and Allie are human, like, regular human women.
No, KB has been my favorite since the beginning, too. I just love her energy. I think she's so sure of herself. And it says a lot about her that she picked Edmund. I feel like Edmund, he's an interesting character. He's very lively and out there. I don't know if he's like husband material, but like, he's good friend material. The only thing like that surprised me is like, KB picked him, in the sense of like, is she just doing it because she's so nice? Like, or is there really a romantic connection there? That's what I'm like a little iffy on.
I really liked her. She's very empathetic. I think she's very kind, but I didn't understand why she chose Edmund. I'm also nervous she's going to tap into her like social worker side in that relationship, where I feel like he's a very emotional person. And you see this in Mexico too. Like, she's constantly trying to like correct him or like calm him down. I feel like that's going to be so exhausting for her. Like, she doesn't deserve that. And I think that it was very much a disservice, not only to him, but the entire cast, to have cast him on the show.
No, I absolutely agree, because I think that I'm concerned for his mental health throughout this whole experience for him. Because not only is the show really difficult to go through filming, it's very hard for him now, I'm sure, to be watching it back and to have people commenting on him and his personality or diagnosing him for something. It's like, I think that's where I'm like, okay, that was not a good choice for producers to put him on the show.
I think with Edmund, what's hard is like, I do feel like there's some things he needs to work through, specifically when it comes to romantic relationships and being ready for a romantic relationship. But I think the way he acts has a lot of impact on Calabria.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and it's like, it's not what she deserves. And it like teeters on the line of being a little bit like unsafe and very mm-hmm. uncomfy.
Yeah. I feel like KB is having to be his mom almost in some ways, where, like you said before, she's like having to correct him and having to tell him like, hey, you need to like calm down, like think about this. Hey, this is my friend. Like, you shouldn't talk to her this way, or how you're saying it is not right. So it's like, I think she's like playing into that role of like, let me take care of him instead of, hey, I need you to be my partner. And that's a tough position to be in. Okay, and let's get into the couples mixer in Mexico then, because I feel like Edmund was acting really strange. He was like very sexual with KB, but also like he was weird to the other girls.
Yeah. I mean, I think the other couples, even though they're not saying it out loud, just based on their like facial expressions, I don't know if those were edited in or not. Like, you can tell, I think they think that his behavior is really strange. I will say Mexico is when I realized like Edmund's tantrums and his behavior can be very, I don't want to use the word unsafe or dangerous, but I think it shows that like he is just not ready for marriage or a romantic relationship at all.
He just has this like childlike playfulness to him on one side, but then on the other side, when he can't regulate his emotions, he starts acting out and you kind of don't know what to expect from him. And I think that's why, like you said, it kind of makes him a little unsafe, because we don't know how he's going to react to things.
Yeah.
And thankfully, KB does a really good job of like calming him down and talking him through things. But what happens if like she can't? I think he uses the fact that he's a nice guy as a, not weapon, but like he uses it as leverage to kind of be like, why am I not getting what I want? Because I'm such a nice guy. And it's like, that's a weird mentality to have. And it just shows that like, I don't know, he has a lot of growth that he needs to have internally before he can be in a relationship. And I do feel like we are starting to see KB realize that Edmund is a lot, because she's with him 24/7 now. And it's not just like pockets of time in the pods where she could like kind of tolerate the behavior, you know, or not fully see who he is. But now in Mexico, I feel like she's like starting to realize that, okay, this could be a lot that I signed up for, and it's not going to be so easy with him.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's, I don't know how it's going to all go, but I can't even picture Edmund figuring out wedding plans. Like, how is he going to handle that?
I think all in all, he should not be on this show. I can't believe that he was even cast on the show. Obviously, we have to do a lot of like psychological tests and personality tests, and I feel like producers knew like he wasn't ready for this and they put him on the show. And I know that there's some like crazy personalities on this show, but I just feel like when it comes to Edmund, it's a little bit different. Like, he just shouldn't be on the show. I start to get a little bit scared of Edmund during the couples mixer when the men are talking about, you know, having sex with their partners. And then Edmund's like, wait, I haven't had sex with Calabria. She wants to wait till marriage. And he's like not respecting her decision. And he's trying to find like validation from the other men, being like, wait, it's crazy, right? Like, if we're not having sex before marriage, like, why would I marry someone without having sex with them? Okay, Edmund, like, have that belief, but like, don't use that against Calabria and have a tantrum the fact that she's not willing to have sex with you before marriage. That you step out if that's going to be an issue, but don't freak out and have a tantrum.
And also, like, she has told you that from the beginning. So why are you, he's feeling some type of way, like he almost feels left out because the other guys are having sex and he's not. So he almost like feels like he's missing out on something, and he's like placing the blame on KB when he knew from the beginning that that's what she wanted. And thank God for Anton, who was like, every couple is different. Like, you got to go at your own pace. And he still wasn't clocking it. He still wasn't clocking
it.
He's being overly sexual on purpose in front of everyone to kind of take away from the fact that they have not had sex.
Yeah, like him massaging the toes, kissing in front of people.
He was licking the feet.
Stop.
I was dying when KB's like, Edmund, there's sunscreen on that. And he goes, oh.
No, his immune system must be strong.
Because after kissing that floor in the boys' lounge and then that.
If that was my partner doing that stuff, I wouldn't kiss his lips afterward. I'd be like, where have your lips been? Listen, I was like, I have a weak immune system, okay? Like, I'm not trying to get sick during filming. But I do think that, like, again, he's unintentionally manipulative. During that tantrum he had after the couples mixer, where he's like, I'm a nice guy, like, I'm giving it my all, as if he deserves sex for some reason. I was like, this is so manipulative. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't think it's intentional, but he, like, pulls this victim card and wants Calabria to feel sorry for him to try to convince her to have sex before marriage. And I was like, okay, like, she doesn't deserve this. I don't care, like, what he's gone through in life. Like, you cannot do that to your partner.
I feel like KB is seeing through it. Like, she's, like, clocking it as it's happening.
I don't know how she just didn't leave after that tantrum.
I wonder if she's just, like, trying to kind of minimize the situation so it doesn't blow up. But, like, I feel like things are going to change when they go back home.
But what's worse is, like, I watched the trailer and they make it to the altar.
Mm, interesting.
Like, I was like, what?
I don't know. KB sees something in Edmund that we're not seeing.
But you know what? That's, like, me and Shane. People, yeah, I should have stepped out, like, 1,000 times.
So, yeah.
I can't blame her.
We forget how strong the connections are in the pods. Like, you feel so, 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 like, intertwined with them almost. So maybe that's what's happening. But I am intrigued to see where this couple goes. Let's talk about the other fight that happened during the couple's mixer between Madison and Joe. This whole, like, interaction was kind of funny to me because you can clearly tell that Joe was just wasted out of his mind. He was ordering those Palomas hibiscus drinks. Like, he was just drunk and just didn't know how to act. And I'm happy that he, like, took himself out of the equation and was like, I want to go nap. Peace out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I thought that fight was, like, so ridiculous. I don't think it should have gotten to the level that it did. This is probably an unpopular take because I don't like Joe, like, so far on the show, but I feel like Madison overreacted. It, like, blew that fight up. I feel like Joe was definitely acting weird at the couples mixer. Like, even I was like, did he take drugs? Like, what's going on?
I thought he was, I was like, hey, you know, maybe he took an edible, like, something is off.
No, literally, I was like, what's going on? But I think thinking about it, like, I think he was just really, really drunk. I think it was really, really hot out. And that's why he was, like, not really responding to her. And I think she was also drunk and getting overly hurt by his drunken behavior.
Yeah. And I think it was, like, a buildup because during the mixer itself, like, Joe and Jordan were kind of being annoying
in general. So annoying.
Like, yeah. And even Sparkle Megan clocked it and was like, you're annoying me, because they were just, like, kind of feeding off of each other's energy. And Madison was telling Joe how she was like, you've been dismissing me all day. Like, you know, she's having insecurities about it. And I'm sure we know this. When someone's not attracted to you, you do act a little weird. You feel that energy. Yeah. You feel the energy is awkward. It's off. So I'm sure she's, like, feeling some of that. And it, like, kind of all built up. And she, like, kind of just freaked out at him in the bedroom after the mixer. But I really think that Joe was just really, really drunk and was like, where am I? Like, you're a stranger. I'm in Mexico. I'm wasted. I don't know what's happening for a hot second, you know? Yeah. And he's awkward, like you said.
Yeah, before. Like, not only is he a very awkward human in front of the cameras, but yeah, you're totally right. He was drunk. I think he went to go nap it off. And then she woke him up and he's like, whoa. You know, when you wake up when you're drunk and you're like, what happened? Like, what the heck? Like, and obviously, if you ask a drunk person, like, are you drunk? They're going to be like, no, I've never been so drunk. And someone asks me, like, are you drunk, with concern? And I'm like, yeah, I'm so drunk. Like, you're typically like, no, I'm okay. Like, no, it's fine. Yeah. Like,
We've heard that from every drunken friend we're trying to like help and take home, you know?
And when they get to that point, you know, like no communication is getting through. You're just like, here's some water, go to bed.
Yeah.
Like that's the energy. But I think she was just so like distraught from the whole day that like she simply couldn't handle the fact that he was like, why do you look so nice? Where'd you just come from?
Yeah.
She's like, what do you mean? You've been with me all day.
For me, he shouldn't have gotten that drunk. I'd be annoyed too if I was in her shoes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's both of those things combined just created so much chaos. But I do have to say, like, I got really wasted on our mixer too, because it's just so fun to see everyone together.
Yeah.
So I kind of don't blame him too much because you know how it is. Like we drank all day. At least me and Shake did all day that day. And then by the time the mixer came around and we drank more, we were wasted. And it's hard not to when there's just like free drinks pouring everywhere. But yeah, she absolutely overreacted a little bit. But I do understand why she overreacted. So it's hard.
I think she's feeling something from Joe, like deep down knows he's not being honest when he says like, oh, yeah, I love you. I find you very attractive. I think we can see that on screen that, like, he's not really being honest about that. And they kind of remind me of Jimmy and Chelsea from season 6, where, you know, it seems like Chelsea is overreacting a lot. And, you know, Jimmy's saying the right things. He's like, yeah, like, I love you, like, blah, blah. But I think the reason why Chelsea was overreacting is because she knew and felt like what Jimmy was saying wasn't truthful. Like she knew Jimmy wasn't attracted to her. And I think that's what Madison's feeling with Joe. It's making her like act out and overreact when. So I like get it in that point.
Yeah. Dude, Mexico, as fun as it seems after the pods, and it is fun, it's also like nerve wracking. You're literally with a stranger. So like there's just all the emotion starts bubbling up. So I don't know. We'll see how these two end up, but I have a feeling, do they even make it to the altar? I feel like they don't.
Yeah, they do. In the trailer.
They do. Okay. I haven't studied the trailer, but I feel like there's going to be a lot of drama that comes forward, and I'm kind of sad for this season. As quirky as these people are, I am sad for this season because it is entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, even though I don't really resonate or love anyone on this season, it is a very entertaining season because there's so many interesting and weird personalities and they're all on one season. And you're just like, I don't know what's in the water in Denver, but I'm not going to be drinking it.
I can't believe I wanted to move there. I'm like, oh no, this is scary.
Imagine if you were on that season.
Could you imagine? Oh my
can
gosh,
I be imagine. Honest? I don't think you would have been chosen to be on the main cast because you're too normal.
Yeah. Unless, I don't know, Joe and I are together or something, because he's just so weird that he would carry me through.
All right, before we end, who do you think is going to get married from this season?
No one. I really don't think anyone's going to make it. And even if like maybe one or two couples get married, I don't think they last.
Okay.
What do you think?
I agree. What do you think? Okay, well, I think actually Nick and Annie are going to get married. I'm not saying that they're going to be happy, but I think that they're going to get married. And I actually think they'll stay together because, you know, they're both religious. Or I think she's religious.
Yeah, she is religious. And
they seem like people who don't believe in divorce. Podbesties, let us know what you thought about these episodes and who you think are going to get married.
And make sure you guys leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Wednesday.
Bye.